Let's start with a prayer. Father, we just thank you. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. Thank you, Lord, that as we come to you, Lord, you bless us and we can bless you back, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you, Lord, right now that you quicken to it to our hearts, Lord, that we may be able to hear it, that we may be able to receive it, Lord, and apply to our life. We thank you, Lord, that we know that there is power in your word. And as we receive it, Lord, that it transforms us, empower us, enable to do the things you're calling us to do. And so we just thank you in advance for the things you're going to do through it, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we've been looking at this series on, is moving into, you know, the area of sonship, you know, becoming the way God wants us to be. Okay. And really, you know, the Great Commission is about making disciples. And disciples are people that are learning from Jesus to become like him. Okay. And really, this is the central theme, I would say, what God wants us to understand. He just doesn't want us just to go to church and, you know, be just warming the pews. He wants us to be involved, to be active, to be a manifestation of what Jesus did today. There is no difference. There is no, you know, time is not a factor here. We are a factor. And we can make all the difference if we allow the Spirit of God to work through us. Okay, so, you know, and discipleship is not just something that happened in one instant. You know, it has a progression, a start, and it's a series of choices we make to follow what God wants us to do. Okay, now, you know, our choices have a great power. Every choice that we do, every right choice that we make has an impact that is not, and we are talking about here spiritual things, not just physical things. Okay, every spiritual choice that we make has a spiritual impact that has great power. Okay, a simple decision that we make changes our life. You know, it's very clear. First John 1, chapter 12 says, you know, but as many as received him, that's a choice we make. That is a choice that has to be made. You know, to them, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who not believe in his name, and who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, not the will of man, but of God. Okay. Here is show us an indication, okay, that receive. First of all, you know, receiving is not something passive. You know, the English doesn't reflect what the Greek says there. The word there in Greek is lambano, which actually means take. And that taking is a result of a decision we make that we choose to take rather than not to take or to take something else. See, that simple decision has the power to make us, okay, be born of God and to move into a dimension that before wasn't even there in our life. The greatest miracles that take place. That is just one simple decision. Now, that, you know, the important thing that we have to realize, you know, that make them, you know, able to be born, okay, become children of God and give them the right, okay? And the right there is exousia, which actually means, you know, that actually the word means, you know, give us the ability, give us the power to do that, okay? But we had to be cooperating with that. Okay, it's not just something that happens, and there is a part we play, and that part is the choice that we make. Okay, that decision, we just receive him. We just believe that Jesus is who he is. And he has done what he did it on the cross. Okay, we make those choices, and those choices are enough to produce that kind of a miracle that make us from children of the devil to children of God. Okay, that is a transformation that takes place, but we have to understand how that happened and how that evolves with time. It's not just a static thing. Life is dynamic. Life changes, okay, keeps growing. You cannot live, not move, and do nothing. If you do nothing for long enough, you die. Okay, you atrophize. You become your body. The body needs to function all the time. If you sit all the time, you start to die too. You need to move. You need to act. You need to do things. You have to make choices. You have to make the right choices. When you make the right choices, then you release the power in the choices you make. And many of these choices actually are spiritual choices. See, in the case of, for example, believing who Jesus is and receiving him, that is actually a spiritual choice, because you have the choice to believe what he is, who he is, and what he has done, or not believe what he has done, which he has really believed something else. One choice is in agreement with God, what God does, and with the truth. The other one is not in agreement with God and with the truth. And one produces life, the other produces death. Okay. So when we make the choice that in agreement with God, we are actually exercising our faith, the Bible says. When we make a choice that it doesn't agree with God, well, we exercise unbelief. Because we choose to believe the other things. And those things sometimes, is what everybody says, or what we want to believe, or what, we think ourselves. Okay. That doesn't get us anywhere. Okay. Just, believing, though, is not just that simple. There is more involved than just believing that Jesus is. Okay, there is a critical thing is involved there, is that we had to recognize the fact that we need what Jesus did, because we tend to sin, and we have sinned, and we need this, we need the forgiveness from God to receive it, and he paid the price for us. So because he paid the price, then we can have forgiveness, because he took our place. He was who he, was without sin, became sin for us, so that we may have the righteousness of God in him. So you see, there, his righteousness is transferred to us, not because of what we did physically, not because of the works that we did, but because of we accept, receive him, make that decision of faith in which we appropriated what he has done. Okay, so that's. It's important. It's not just a question. Say, I believe. Well, if you believe, then your actions are going to be consistent with that. Says you confess with your mouth, and the word there is homologeo. And homologeo, it means more than just say the same thing. It means that when you say the same thing, you also do the same thing, because that is in alignment with what's going on inside you. So you start aligning yourself with God's principle, with God's ideas. And that is manifested not just in, what you believe, but it's manifested in what you do, is manifested in what you say. Okay. The manifestation. See, understanding the problem of manifesting the power of God in our life comes just simply from decisions that we make. And that we hold on to, in believing certain things, in standing what the Word of God says, in releasing what the power of the word is, because the word is nothing else, ideas, logos, concept that God give us to be able to release us, to give us certain things, to give us direction, to make us make the right decisions. Are you still with me? Okay, this is important to understand. Important to understand how spiritual things happen in us. See, but even when we do that, we have the right, the ability, the things. But there is more to the ability. To have an ability, you can have an ability and do nothing with it. You can have strength in your body and do nothing with it, and then you are not exercising your ability. You are not going to get any results from it. If you want to get some results and you got more strength, you have to exercise your strength. That's why if you had to move, you had to do things, you had to do physical exercises, or at least, be active. It's the same thing spiritually. You can be, just thinking about spiritual things and think you're going to get results and don't do anything with the things that you believe. You had to act on them. Okay. And so that's what makes the difference. This is why the aspect that says, we had to, be doing things in agreement with what we believe. Because when otherwise what we believe has not been transferred from our thinking and from our spirit to our physical body. Okay. Now, says, well, okay, we had to then repent of our sins. Somebody says, well, I can't remember them all. That's not an excuse. And that doesn't make any difference. You don't need to remember them all. Because the things that you have dealt with inside yourself, is always decisions. It's choosing to do what God says instead of what God says not to do. So there is judgment that God passes on things that has to be parallel in the judgment of our hearts. And when we deal, when we make that decision to accept Jesus and say, we confess our sins, okay, and we do that, and we don't remember some, is because, that is generally covered by that decision we made. But if it's not even covered, if we didn't think about that, that thing, that decision, that judgment in our heart is going to remain there. And it's come to time when it's going to come up on the surface, because you are going to be tested or tempted in that particular area. Are you following me? So even, that's a decision that you had to still make. And that's the time, that's the critical time in which what happens is either you progress into freedom or you get stuck. And God is there waiting. Are you following me? Are you following what I'm saying? This is important to understand, because lots of people think, you're saved, boom. Yeah, you are saved, boom, right. Because something gigantic took place. But there is a progression that has to take place from that moment in which you come into freedom from the bondages of the beliefs system that you have assimilated from the world, and that needs to be, that was once was called sanctification, but really is the process of salvation that takes place inside you. Are you following me? All right. So there are decisions. Judgment, God's judgment are the one that are right, the righteous. Jesus said that he had righteous judgment. Okay, we had to develop in ourselves those righteous judgment, and that is actually the specific decision that we deal moment by moment in our life. When we don't agree with God or want to do our own thing that we are going to do, that's exactly what's happening, because we have not submitted ourselves to the truth, and we are not homologeo. We are not confessing or we are not going along with what God says. Are you following me? Okay. See, that's the way we grow. That's the way we are transformed from babies, from children, to grown up, to sons. And that's what God wants. If God doesn't want us to remain babies, the same way as your parents when you were growing up, when you were born, you know, didn't want you to stay and get and suck the bottle. I mean, a normal parent that has some brain in them, you know, want their child to grow up and to be able to manage his life and to grow and to do things. Well, the same thing, God is exactly the same. He wants us to grow into sonship. This is his plan, but, you know, it doesn't take just a lifetime the way it is now here. You know, for us, physically, you know, spiritually, it's a bit different, and it takes all our life to be able to, in which we keep growing. And it's not like our physical life that lasts every period of time and then decays, and, you know, we physically die, but spiritually, we just should keep growing up all the time. That's what is the intention and what the goal God has for us. He has good plans for us. You know, plans of a future and a hope. And that we had to connect with that hope, the Christian hope. There are so many areas in which we had to exercise our hope. And that hope, though, that is not just, you know, like my wife said before, you know, just wishing something. You know, it's much more than wishing. Okay, it's a joyful and confident expectation of the fact that the promises of God, we are going to appropriate them and make them ours. Because God's desire is to fulfill them for us. Are you with me? You see, that should motivate us, should make us want to keep going, keep growing, keep becoming better, keep being more and more the way God wants us to be. That means like Jesus. Now, there are so many scriptures that differentiate this, shows this progression that I'm talking about. Okay. Well, I'm going to start, you know, where we start. You know, children, babies. Okay. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." Now, this is interesting. Okay, the word there in Greek for children is technon. Technon has an implication, the meaning. There are two words for children of God. Okay, or sons of God. And if you read any translation in the Bible, you're going to see that they are not translated properly. I'm checking out all of them, and they're, you know, they're used interchangeably, and they are not, should not be used interchangeably. Just check out some good reference book that has, you know, like a lexicon from Greek, and you will find out that the words, there are two words for that are being translated independently, son and children, but in they mean two different, completely different things. I found out that by the Holy Spirit, but then I went to check it out, and I was completely right. Okay. The idea is that in one case, you know, the word technon actually means that you are descendant from, you know, if you are, you know, when you are born again, you are born of God. Okay. Doesn't mean that you are an adult child. Or person. Just means the thing that you come, are a descendant from God, or descendant, you know, some, like, you know, you are from your father and mother, so you are a descendant from them. It doesn't tell what level of growth you have achieved. Okay. So that's the word that is used there. And says, yeah, you know, the world doesn't know you because it can't see any different sometime. Or, you know, it didn't even see Jesus. That was completely the Son, you know, the full Son of God. And, you know, even with Jesus, they didn't see it. So they were not going to be able to see it from you. But some of people are going to be able to start to see it. Okay. The thing is, you know, there is not a manifestation that is complete the way it was for Jesus. Okay. And then continue, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And has not yet been revealed what it shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So you see, we are not the way we are going to be, says here. Okay? For now we are children. They're like babies. Okay, and babies do baby things. Okay, behave like babies, speaks like babies, understand things like babies. I mean, they can be cute, but that's where it stops. Okay. There is a time that one has to be a baby, but there is a time in which one has to grow. Okay, and here he's talking about, you know, when we know that. You see, the only thing that I want to say here, making important, you know, the word here, again, children is technon, okay, the same word I was using before. Now, that says that we know that when he's revealed, okay, so this is something that we still start feeling within ourselves, that we are not quite the way we are going to be, not the quite the way we are going to be, but we know that. The word "know" is "eido," which actually we start perceiving that spiritually. That we is not the way we are going to be in the future, hopefully, and we are going to be different. And you see, he's talking about when he is revealed. The word there is apocalypse, which actually is the same thing as apocalypse or revelation. You see, it's when, and the word means manifestation, unveiling. So when he is going to be manifested, evidently, this was after Jesus was resurrected. You know, Jesus went to heaven when these things were already said. So he's not talking about the first time Jesus came. He's talking about the second time that Jesus come. Okay. So when he's going to be unveiled, when he's going to be manifested, okay, we ourselves will be able to see him as he is, understanding him. That means, you know, have full understanding what it is. You know, see him is optomai, which actually means, you know, optic means, you know, be able to actually see, physically see. That is not a question of wondering or trying to figure it out. You know, we understand because we are not anymore baby in our thinking, but we have received knowledge about the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, so we are going to be able to see as he is, and so what we are going to do is that we are going to be like him. That means it's going to be a revelation of us too. There is a manifestation of us. We are talking about manifesting in the physical something that happens in the spirit. That's what the word means. See, so when we are in the place, when we spiritually inside are at the place in which we can understand. We know him as he is, and he is coming back. That means, you know, this is within the timing of the Lord, not our own time. Okay. But we are moving there. Okay, we are moving closer and closer to that. Okay, as we are moving closer to that, what happens is that we are understanding more and more about these spiritual things that are connected with our growth. It is not just anymore a religion, but it's our interaction, our connection with the Holy Spirit that brings us from truth to truth and faith to faith. We're going to see more in detail later on. Okay, manifestation more and more of God's glory in us is not us. It's not our abilities, it's not our effort, it's because his power cleanses us and we manifest God's glory in our life, which is what Jesus did. And so, you know, And it comes because of our connection with him. He is doing it. It's not us. Okay. So, and we shall be like he is because we see him as he is. Now, okay, when we come to this realization, it's important to understand. When we grasp these ideas that I'm telling you, okay, with that comes other things, okay? Comes, you know, the fact that we realize what we could be and what God wants us to be. And what we are already in the way of becoming. And with that understanding, you know, comes a sense of empowerment, a sense of responsibility because of what God has given us, and a sense of, you know, confident expectation and motivation to go toward that end. So, you know, one of the things that happen is what comes in the following verse. It says, and everyone who has this hope in him, and hope against is not just hoping like that, like in the world, it's expectation, it's a confident expectation. Anybody that has that confident expectation purifies himself just as he is pure. You see, that becomes the motivation inside us to respond to this adoption of sons that God has established, to respond to what he has done and is doing. You know, I remember when I first met the Lord, okay, I had that vision, you know, in 1972, you know, and I saw the love of God. I perceived the love of God, and I was an atheist. The only thing I could say as a result of that, and after a few seconds of that experience, you know, I had to share this with somebody else. I had to let people know that that's the truth. See, there was that motivation in me. I had to grow to be able to do that. And I've been an atheist for many years, and I was a scientist. I was everything but doing that kind of things. I had no idea. But God was graceful enough to reach out to me because I was seeking for the truth. See, it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that gives us power. In him, we got freedom. We don't got bondage. See, we don't receive the spirit of bondage against to fear as for the adoption. But we get, you know, the spirit of sonship, that we can go to the spirit of adoption, and we go to the Father and call him Abba, Father, Daddy. Because that's the relationship we start to experience with God. And it's not somebody that we are afraid that, you know, if we do a mistake, he blasts us out. But it's somebody instead that we know that he loves us and cares for us and wants to help us. And he's there to go to him when we make mistakes so that he can help us to fix them up. And we do all the time. Because we are a bit dense spiritually. But that doesn't matter. God is bigger than our density. Amen? All right. So, let's keep going here. See, God has a plan. You know, we had to move into the plan. People want to know what God's plan for me. Well, this is God's plan for us. Now, it can take different forms, different directions, according to the gift that he has given us. Okay, not everybody has to do the same, fortunately, otherwise we'd be robots. Okay, he creates each one differently so that we can be different and we can fulfill different functions in the body. So, what happens, you know, that we end up, when you realize that and you feel the responsibility and the motivation to change, then you start changing because you start responding what God wants to do with you. It's not just a question of going to church. Okay. And so, you know, what happens? Well, we start dealing with the old man, dealing with the one, the part of us that are corrupted and by the carnal nature, and instead we start substituting that with the new man, which is actually, you know, is in Christ Jesus, is like Jesus. Now, that means, okay, that when we come to this realization, you know, our attitude, okay, our perception, our focus changes completely. Okay, we start acting and operating in a different way. Why? Because what is going on inside us is different. It's not that you are constrained and, you know, and try to do all the right thing. No, it's that you naturally do the right thing because you are not the same. And when you do something that is wrong, you feel just like you have, you know, wet socks or whatever. You know, just something that doesn't work there. Are you with me? That should be that way. See, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Doesn't put you down, condemn you, put down. No, he encourages you. He shows you. He convicts you. No, I had to do this. Why did I do that? You ever say that? Oh, why? You know, so stupid. You know, why should I do that? And so you come to deal with those things that I said before. You know, maybe those decisions, those choices, those judgments that you have in your heart that aren't quite fixed yet because you haven't not dealt with them. And that's what happened. They come to the surface and you start dealing with them. That's what the purification is all about. He's not trying to follow all this, you know, a list of 365 different things that you have to make sure that you tick off every day. That's pathetic. What you do is you start, you know, allowing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit to work inside you and is, you know, revealing to you the things. You know, why did you do that? Instead of going around feeling terribly destroyed because you made a mistake, you know, that's pride. It's not really listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the helper. The condemner is Satan. That's what the word means. Now, so what happens is, you know, in Romans chapter 8, it talks a lot about that. Okay. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to cover everything today, but we're going to start anyway. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Okay. It says, and those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, do the things of the Spirit. So you see, one of your focus and your attitude changes, okay, and it's going to, you know, direct your mind in a direction instead of another. Okay, the things of the flesh are the physical thing, the things of the Spirit are spiritual things. So you just change your focus, your attitude. And as continues, as, you know, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you see, automatically, you are going to know it right away. When you are going to operate functioning according to the flesh, you are going to feel yucky, and you are going to not feel that good, and there's going to be no peace inside you. No matter if you're trying to convince, I'm okay. No, it's going to be, you're going to feel there's something that is wrong. Okay, but when instead you're following according to the Spirit, you're going to have peace, okay, inside yourself, and life, and strength, and motivation, the ability to keep going. Okay, it says, because this is just nothing else. This is the manifestation of one of the laws that God put in place. Okay. It works for everybody, and this is a general law. Okay, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, indeed cannot be. But so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay. So the idea is instead that if you, you know, are doing something according to the spirit, then we are going to feel different. You're going to, you know, be able to change ourselves to know the things to do and to be successful in doing the right thing. Okay. When we, you know, do the things that are according to God, we are going to be empowered. We receive power. We receive the promises. We receive blessings. We receive protection. We receive guidance for the Holy Spirit. All the things that should be there because we are connected. If we are not connected, we cut off because the flesh itself produces that separation from us and God. Naturally. Okay. So that that doesn't mean, you know, I mean, one little mistake or something like that, you know, we sense it and we take action. We just respond to that. Instead of ignoring it, we say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I messed it up. You know, repent, forget it, I'm not going to do next time. Maybe next time you got distracted, you do it again, and you say, no, I'm sorry, you know, I did it again. I better remember better. And so until you really dealt with that decision, that judgment in your heart, that thing may come back again. Okay, and God knows that. But the thing is, until your heart convict you, says, wait a minute, you missed it, and you respond, then the Spirit of God can keep working in you and helping you to overcome. So is the game is not ended. Okay, the battle is not ended. You can keep growing. The moment when you start forgetting it, I'm too busy, I'm doing other things, I'm caught up in other things, what happens? You are not going to respond anymore to that working of the Holy Spirit inside you. And what's going to happen? You're going to say, deeper and deeper and deeper into that situation. Still with me? Okay, so that should help. See, I'll give you an example of how this works, you know. For example, in, you know, for the manifestation of getting closer and closer to sonship. Okay. If you focus on your senses, because, you know, that's what, you know, the senses and flesh is the same thing. So if you go focus on the physical thing, and you focus on the physical thing, it's only that. You set your mind on those things. Your attitude is determined by those things. Then you respond to those things that way. So what happened? Okay, say, for example, that you start to feel sick. Okay. And you start allowing the feeling of the thing, okay? Ignore it. Just let the course of nature continue. Well, that's what's going to happen. The course of nature is going to continue. Okay? That means, you know, what you do essentially is this. You have a certain situation in you. If you understand this, you're going to overcome lots of stuff that can come on you because it works. Okay. You start, for example, having a pain or something, or a sniffle, or whatever it is. And you say, oh, I'm getting a cold. Oh, I'm getting this. This is getting, you know. And you accept it. So what you do is really, okay, passively believing and accepting what's taking place on the body. So you accept it, and this is a passive thing. It's not that you're doing anything active. Okay? You're just responding, reacting to the things in the way that is not really in your favor. Yeah, you can do that, but it's not the most smartest thing to do. Okay? You accept it, you believe it, you start saying it, you start agreeing with it, you start yielding to it, you start acting like it, and you're going to manifest it even more. That's it, nothing else than the physical manifestation. Now, if you go and do the other way, if you focus on the word, Well, as soon as the things start to happen, you take a position. Says, wait a minute. The word says, but Jesus tried by meal. I refuse to get this. I stand on the word. See, but here is not anymore a passive position you take. You take an active position and you exercise your faith against what happens physically. Say, well, you're playing with your mind. No, you are playing with your spirit. See, you start saying, no, wait a minute, but Jesus tried by me, oh, pain, go. How many people have left the pain left them today? You too, huh? Amen. Was all gone now? Amen. So the idea is, what I'm saying is this. Okay, you take a position which is spiritual position against, in an agreement with the word of God. You believe the word of God against what your senses tell you at the moment. And you know, if you go at the very beginning, it's very easy to do. When it's grown and you have been, you know, in agony there, it becomes very difficult to do because your flesh is screaming. But your spirit is stronger and more powerful than your flesh. And it's not just your spirit. It's the Spirit of God inside you that has the power, not you. So what happens, you see, you start agreeing with the word. And to agree with the word when it's contrary to the flesh, you take a position which is an active position, lambano. You take that, you know, you receive that, okay? It's a very active, not passive, not just let him do it. I got it. No, I believe I get what God said by stripe by meal. So you take that position, okay, and then you hold it, okay? When you take that position, you know, start with the hope that it's going to work, but actually you had to take that position in a positive way, which is faith. And you start exercising your faith. No, I'm believing the word. I'm not believing the symptoms. And what happens is actually, if you can overcome the effect that the symptoms have on your heart, what happens is the thing is not going to stay there. Okay. Now, you can just do an experiment and see how it works. You know, I never had a problem with my teeth, okay? My teeth are really good. But, you know, well, about a month ago or something like that, I never had pain in my teeth. Suddenly, I had this terrible pain, like an infection. I had to go to the doctor. The first things I said, I had to go to the doctor. I have an infection here. You know, probably, you know, my nerve evidently has been affected. And the very moment I realized I was saying that, wait a minute, I'm not going to go there, and I'm not going to get, the thing is going to get better because I'm going to take a position. Okay. It was a night before going to bed. My wife was already asleep. I went to bed. And I said to myself, no, this is not going to stay. Not big fast, not big prayer, nothing, you know, just took a position. Jesus prayed by meal. This infection is going to die, and I'm not going to get to the daughter. 2 minutes, the thing disappeared and been there half of the day. And it never came back. Well, this is, you know, what I'm saying is, see, understanding this principle, that we have to act immediately. Don't wait until, you know, you are a mess, you know, that needs to be fixed. Do it before the old things develop, before the manifestation is fully developed. You develop instead, you know, manifest what the Word of God says instead of manifesting what the problem is. I'll tell you, if you try to do that, and I know some people are already starting to do it. Can I see your hands? Something that got this kind of result. See? Plenty of people. Okay. You get the result all the time. All the time. But if you wait, if you are too caught up with the things you are doing, by the time the whole thing is blown up and the manifestation is all there, it's very difficult to fix. Okay. Now, I'm talking about, to give you a physical example, but it's the same thing about spiritual things. Our behavior is the result of what we, Lambanova, we take in a spirit dimension. Okay, so if we are appropriating what Jesus has done and we respond to the Holy Spirit direction, that what you're going to do is manifest what the promises are instead of manifesting what the enemy is trying to put on us. He comes to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Okay, so we have to understand, learn how to actually exercise our faith in the right way, at the right time. Because, you know, if you let things develop in the wrong way, it's much more difficult. Same thing about behavior. I mean, if you are exposed to some wrong behavior, and you stay there, and you start accepting it, after a while, it doesn't bother you anymore, even if you know that it was wrong. After a while, you start saying, well, it's okay, you know, and after, you know, wait some more and be exposed some more, you're going to do it the same thing yourself. Why? Because you got accustomed to it. Bad company, corrupt morals. Same thing. You see, this is a question of manifesting what is inside you. What is inside you, or what is supposed to be inside you after you are born again believer, is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not going to make manifestation in your body, in your behavior, as doing the wrong thing. I mean, the Spirit of God is going to make you behave like Jesus. Hallelujah. Because that's what we're operating in Jesus. You know, because he, you know, went around doing good and nearly all were oppressed because the Holy Spirit was with him. Are you still with me? See, that's important to understand because this is actual strategies to overcome lots of practical problems that we can avoid, you know, and it's completely scriptural. Now, so the condition of manifestation, let's see, we have not much time, but maybe I can start on that. The condition of manifestation is that we have to realize that it is not us. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Jesus said, you know, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit's power is come upon you, and then you can do all the things you need to do. So we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to do these things. Okay. It's not us, it's not in our flesh, is not in our abilities. His ability are available to us. The way we're available to the disciples of Jesus when he was alive, they were after Jesus left, he said, you know, the things that I do, you shall do also, and even greater things that I do, because I go to my Father and I send you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Okay. Anything you ask me, I'll do it. That would sound too good to be true. Mm-hmm. It is. That's why it's the good news. That's why it's the gospel. Amen? All right. So the idea is, though, that we have to be connected with the Holy Spirit. You see, he's the indwelling. You see, one of the realizations we had to have, that Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to indwell in us. That means in you. I mean, you go around and you carry the Holy Spirit with you. He's inside you to empower you, to bring you to the truth, to direct you, to do anything that you need. He's the helper. And he took the place of Jesus because Jesus cannot go around with everybody. You know, he just sent the Holy Spirit to do it so that we can be empowered and able to do things that we ourselves cannot do. That's a pretty good deal. Okay? Jesus said himself, "It's to your advantage that I leave." That means, you know, as I often say, you know, it's better to have the Holy Spirit now with us than to have Jesus with us. Because, you know, we'll be limited in that case. It was limited to one place all the time. And now it's everywhere, any place, wherever we are. Where we are, the Holy Spirit comes with us. Because he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." The only one leaving him is because we don't want him and we push him away. And we want to do our own thing. But he's there. And when we need him, he's the helper. This is why we have to understand that he's there to help us and not to put us down. He's there to empower us, not to, you know, criticize us only. Okay, he's going to show us things. He said, "Oh, you don't need to do that. Why do you do that? The only thing it makes you feel bad." Are you with me? See, I think, you know, this is, you know, so that's why. Romans 8:9. "But you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his." So the idea, you see, we had to realize that we have that reality inside ourselves. Okay. When the Spirit of God dwells in us, okay, then, you know, automatically we are going to be focused on spiritual things instead of physical things, instead of carnal things. It's our focus that makes the difference. What do we pay attention to? The way other people behave, the way, you know, somebody is in a bad mood and we just talk to us in the wrong way or whatever, or we talk and instead, you know, are concentrated on spiritual things. So, you know, today they had a bad day, praise the Lord, God bless them. The way we react makes all the difference. For us, first, and then for the people around us, because instead of reacting and attacking them or whatever, what we do is bless them, if we can. And if we can't, just let them brew them with their own broth. Okay? When you cannot do anything, you don't do it. You just say, "God, touch them." Okay? But that makes all the difference. But as I continue here, Romans 8:10. "And if Christ is in you, the body," I mean the flesh, the senses, "is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." You see, you have righteousness inside you, and so your spirit is operating and is functioning, and the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit are going to be manifesting even in the physical. That's the thing we have to understand. Now, because we just sometimes get carried in the flesh, doesn't mean that we have to be there. Oh, you know, we missed it. Well, okay, you missed it. You're human. Okay, the point is, don't do it next time because you're going to not benefit from it. Okay, but see, what God wants is what says in Romans 8:11 that we often quote, but we have to understand the meaning of it. Okay, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if that happens, if that reality is taking place, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. That means, you know, there's going to be give life to your mortal bodies. What does it mean? Anything. That means it's manifesting from the spiritual to the physical. How can give life to the mortal body? Life is manifest into the mortal body, not to the spirit only. Okay, the spirit is already taken care of. When the spirit is okay inside, when you are operating according to that, then there's going to be a physical manifestation in you that corresponds to that reality. I don't think I can explain it to you any better. Okay? When I start understanding these things, that's why I get the results I get. Okay? That's why you get results. And I'm not special. You know, I don't have anything more that you don't have. You can do exactly the same thing that I do, and some of them start already. Why? Because that's the truth. Okay? It's not that, oh, I'm all special and I can do all these things. No. I'm not special at all. I would like to be able to do 10 times much more. And I hope that, you know, as God gives me more revelation, I can do that. Okay? But I'm not going to keep it for myself. I think the more people know it, and the better it is, because the body has to be operating in that Christ. It's the body of Christ functioning and being, you know, carrying out the mandate that God gave us. Praise the Lord. I think I can't cover everything, but it's important to understand about the operation of the Holy Spirit. See, that's an area that is not just a question of speaking in tongues and, you know, speaking. I'm not against that. You know that. But it's not that. You know, it's actually manifesting in the physical the power that is spiritually inside us, because the Holy Spirit is inside us, and the Holy Spirit is power. And that's why Jesus said, you know, wait in Jerusalem until you don't do anything, because otherwise you're just doing it in your own strength. Do it when the power is coming upon you, and then it's me doing it, it's the Holy Spirit doing it, and you're going to get supernatural results. Now, I believe, you know, the misunderstanding wasn't there 10 years ago. Now it starts to be many places. There's lots of confusion too and everything else, I am the first one to say. But the truth is that there is more and more understanding about how spiritual things work, so that we can actually manifest what Jesus said in the Bible, and people say they cannot get. If they do it, try to do it in their mind or their flesh. You have to be connected with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is the one that was sent to us, so that we are not orphaned anymore, are not separated. We have a Father, and we say, Abba, Father, we just thought when there's a problem, we run to Him, because He's the one who helps us and pat us on the head and, you know, kiss our boo-boos. Are you with me? Amen. Just, you know, if you haven't tried that before, try that. But you don't try just to try it. You try it because, you know, you understand the way it works, and you apply literally what I said, and you're going to see that it's going to work. But you have to be born again first. Okay? All right. I think we are going to close. What did you get today? You had something today. Okay, good. Let's pray then. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are such a loving Father, Lord, that you know, give us the ability or the thing to be called children of God, your children. Lord, help us, Lord, to open our eyes. Help us to see, to understand, to receive the things that you have prepared for us. Lord, because there are more than we can ever think or imagine. And as the day of Jesus coming back is getting closer, this has to be more and more manifested in our midst. We believe, Lord, that this is our critical times. Times in which, Lord, we are moving faster and faster toward the resolution of things that need to be addressed in the world. And Lord, you are bringing us to the place in which we, as we are in your side, you can use us more and more to achieve your purposes. We praise you and thank you for that, Lord. And we stand, Lord, on your word for direction. Lord, we depend on your help by your Holy Spirit. We, Lord, come to you with a grateful heart, because we know, Lord, that it is not by what we are, but what you have made us. And we just give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised. And we just want to express our gratitude and our love toward you for everything that you make available to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.